Well, we left the show yesterday, and as I predicted that there would be two close games this weekend, and that Kentucky would play Georgia close, and Ole Miss would play LSU close, and what do you know, last night it was reported in the Clarion Ledger that Ole Miss has suspended Randall Mackey, their quarterback, and running back Jeff Scott for possibly the rest of the season, and definitely this game against LSU this weekend. So just when I thought that Houston might pull one out of the hat against LSU, they go and suspend two of their top players. So that is just so typical of Ole Miss and Houston Nutt, and that's probably why he will no longer be the coach at the end of the year. I'm joined by Robert McElroy, as always, on Wednesday during college football season. He's going to talk about the Auburn Tigers in a minute. But Robert, just some overall thoughts on this past weekend in college football.
Well, I was off work, so I got to actually really and truly enjoy it. I had just a great day spending time with friends and family and that. So, I mean, I had a good time just being able to sit there and relax. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, the Ole Miss thing is so bad. I mean, just when things seemed like they couldn't get worse, I mean, they were already just so bad anyway. You know, I mean, and then you suspend two of your guys. It's awful.
Well, it was 45-7. Georgia pretty much destroyed Auburn on Saturday. What went wrong? Where are the problems?
That game was lost up front, offensive and defensive line play. It really, to me, mirrored the same kind of problems Auburn was having against LSU when their offensive and defensive lines were just completely dominating Auburn's offensive and defensive line. I mean, I have a little bit of experience. I played football in high school. I in no shape, form, or fashion was a star player, but I did play offensive and defensive line. So when I watch a game, I have a tendency to look at those things first, and I have a tendency to kind of hyper-analyze it. And Auburn's just not there yet. The word young and youth and that is used a lot in association with this team. And that's just how it is. It's a very sophomore and freshman-laden unit, both offensively and defensively, there. And that's where the game's won and lost, always. And that it was just like the LSU game, just not able to do anything up front there. I mean, I didn't think Clint Mosley had a horrible game, but Georgia was able to get some pressure on him, and Georgia was able to come up with some big plays. I mean, and after a half of ball, it was seemingly over.
Well, what do you make of the offense? With the exception of the Ole Miss game, the offense hadn't scored over 20 points since the Florida Atlantic game. What's going on with Gus Malzahn's offense?
Well, you know, they had changed quarterbacks, and I guess when you're having to switch up people there, that never helps anything. You need some continuity at that position. You need to know that week to week you can place confidence in whoever your field general is. And not a whole lot of production really in there. The offense got a little better when Emory Blake and Trevon Reed came back from injury. But after that, I mean, it's just been problems all over the place. I think offensive line play are one of those issues for sure. And so I don't know why they won't rely on the run a little bit more, but I think what teams are doing, they're stacking that box.
Yeah, I would think absolutely, I would agree with you. I would think that that's the most effective part right now, and they seem to want to abandon that.
Yeah, I think they could open up some opportunities for McCaleb and for Dyer. I'd like to see that a lot more coming from that offense, and you have to go with your strengths. And McCaleb was able to do some good things this past weekend, but certainly not enough. But I think Gus Malzahn's a little stubborn. I really like him. I think he's a terrific offensive coordinator, but I think he gets a little stubborn in his game planning.
What about Gene Chizik and Ted Roof's defense? What are the problems there?
Oh, well, I think
T. Sharvin Bell's out for the season, and that's one of their best players now, so that's a big blow, too.
Oh, that doesn't help a thing. I think tackling hasn't been all that great. I think it's gotten a little better since the first half of the season. Eltor Freeman stepped up, but you got to have guys around him step up along with him. It's been defensive line play has really been subpar this season, and that's a part of that is going up against such superior offensive line, very experienced offensive lines. Ben Jones, that center for Georgia, from right here in Alabama,
yep.
I mean, he was all over the place. That guy could seemingly do whatever he wanted to. He looked like an All-American this past Saturday. It's things of that nature. It's like I say, going up against superior offensive lines and youth and poor tackling here and there, which I will say has gotten a little better since the first half of the season.
Well, this is the final question on the matter, but what do you think needs to be done as they go into this offseason? Obviously, they're not done yet. They have a game against Samford this weekend that they'll be able to practice on, and then, of course, the Alabama game in 2 weeks. But what needs to be done in this offseason, and what needs to be changed?
Well, you just have to continue doing what they do well. They recruit awfully well. You continue to sell Auburn. You continue to sell the product. And they've done an awfully good job of that, and they continue to reload. They should obviously not stop doing that. And obviously, with Coach Kevin Yoxville as the longtime strength conditioning coordinator, coach, whatever you want to call him, he should continue to whip these guys' butts in the weight rooms. Really, I mean, really, all you can do, you recruit, and the guys you have there, you train them thoroughly and effectively. And I think Auburn ought to do that. I don't think any staff changes are necessary in that. I think, for the most part, this coaching staff has stayed intact, and they've done an awfully good job of recruiting and coaching, regardless of what the product on the field looks like this year. I mean, this coach knows, they knew what they were up against going into this season with losing the biggest senior class in school history. So they know what lies ahead.
Well, it wasn't just that either. It wasn't just that either. They had other means of losing players too, so it was a lot of attrition.
For sure. Yeah, they knew the kind of attrition that they were dealing with. Coaching staffs know a lot more than us as fans and analysts think that they know. They know what they're dealing with. They really do.
Well, and I know I said that would be the final question, but one more thing. You talked about the coaching staff staying intact. Gus Malzahn has been rumored for several jobs, unknown whether he'll take those or not. But what happens if he leaves? Where do you think they should go from there?
Well, I think you try to find – let's say he leaves. Gus Malzahn does take another job, whatever it may be. I think you try to find a guy whose offense is similar to the one that's already there. That way you have some continuity going into 2012 and beyond. I don't know that you completely switch – philosophies and offenses altogether. I think you probably just go along with another spread option kind of a guy that Gus Malzahn is. I don't know that you just completely change altogether. As far as Gus Malzahn is concerned, his stock has dropped. I mean, I don't think he's the best coaching option out there right now, given how his offense has been playing. So I don't know how hard some programs are going to be going after. Certainly some, because, I mean, we remember Vanderbilt last year almost got him.
Yeah, they sure did. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Well, Robert, let's move on into the games for next weekend, and there are some interesting ones, but this is one of the weaker slate of games I think we've seen all year long. I think everybody takes kind of an off week getting prepared for their big rivalry game in 2 weeks, no matter which team it is. Let's start with Nebraska at Michigan. This one's on ESPN at 11 o'clock Central Time in the morning. Nebraska was able to invade a hostile environment last week in a very emotional scene in Penn State and come out with a three-point victory. This week they're going to Ann Arbor. What say you about their chances there?
Well, I hate to underestimate Nebraska going into Penn State. Nebraska is a good football team, and I think they can go into Ann Arbor and beat Michigan and Al Borges in that offense. I really do. This is kind of my way to atone for picking against them this past weekend. But I really thought when Nebraska beat at Penn State, you know, and I try not to underestimate how rowdy of an environment a place like Happy Valley or Ann Arbor can be, but this is my way of making up for that. I'm going to take the Cornhuskers this week since I went against them last week, and that was actually the only pick I got wrong this past Saturday. You went 5-0, and I was 4-1. That was my one.
Well, I agree with you. I think Nebraska will go into Michigan and get the victory over the Wolverines, and I think Michigan has done a pretty good job this year, but they're still not there. I think Brady Hoke's still building that team, and there are better things to come for them down the road, but they're not quite there yet. How about the SEC game of the week this week, Mississippi State at Arkansas? When in the world have you ever, can you remember a time when this was the SEC on CBS game? But it is, and it's in Fayetteville. Mississippi State comes in off of their loss to Alabama. Arkansas after their thrashing of Tennessee. I just don't see any way Mississippi State can win this game.
I don't see any way they can win this game either. I think Tony Bernhardt said earlier in the season when Mississippi State was just headed downhill fast that ever since Mississippi State was stopped on one-inch line at the Auburn game, that they've been shell of their former selves.
I agree.
That took all the wind out of them. I couldn't agree with Mr. Barnard more. Arkansas wins this one pretty handily.
Yeah, I think that's good analysis because after that they started losing. And they almost lost to Louisiana Tech, but they lost to LSU, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama, which are all good teams. And this is another good one, though, Arkansas. But I tell you what, next week when they play Ole Miss, they better be ready for that one and try to become bowl eligible there.
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the Arkansas-LSU game. I mean, that is a – LSU is a great, great football team, one of the best LSU teams we've seen in a while. But let's not forget, they have struggled against Arkansas some of the past. I look forward to that matchup. No, that's a losable game for LSU.
No, I think it is, absolutely. And I heard that yesterday that there's a chance Nile Davis can be back this week and perhaps next week, too. I think that's a big advantage for Arkansas.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
If anybody can give Les Miles' defense and John Chavis' defense problems, it is Bobby Petrino, and that's been proven. Well, let's go to Oklahoma now and Baylor. Oklahoma still in the conversation for the national championship despite their dismal loss to Texas Tech a couple of weeks ago, but they now go to Baylor. Is there any chance they're looking ahead to the big contest in Stillwater a couple of weeks and overlook the Bears, or does Oklahoma get the win?
Well, they better not look ahead to Oklahoma State. Baylor is a solid little football team, and RG3 is, I mean, he's great. He's good as advertised, but I'm taking Oklahoma to win here. I think they will pretty much just out-talent Baylor, regardless of Ryan Broyles not being there. And how sad is that Ryan Broyles hurt himself a couple weeks ago and he's out for the year? That to me is real sad. But
yeah.
Oklahoma still out-talents Baylor, I think.
I agree with you. I'm going to take Oklahoma as well in a close one, but Robert Griffin III has done it before, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Baylor come out on this one either. Vanderbilt going into Tennessee is a favorite. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but going into Knoxville as a one-point favorite over the Volunteers in this game. If Tennessee does not win this game, they will not become bowl eligible. They have to win both this game this week and then go to Kentucky next week and get a victory. Vanderbilt has a chance for its sixth win of the season, and if they get this win, then they can win next week to get seven wins. So two teams on different planes right now, and it's odd to think of them this way. But Vanderbilt at Tennessee, I'm taking the Commodores to actually go into Knoxville and get a win.
I am picking the Commodores as well. I love the attitude that James Franklin has instilled into this program. I love that. I mean, they actually are standing up for themselves now and saying, look, we may traditionally be not one of the better SEC teams in this conference's history, but by God, we're a part of the SEC, and we're going to butt you in the lineup to play us. That is a attitude that every head coach has to instill into their program, no matter what team it is. And I love that James Franklin was able to do that at a place like Vanderbilt. I'm taking them for the win.
I agree with you. And we go now to LSU and Ole Miss, and I mentioned at the top of the show that Ole Miss has suspended two of its better players, and I thought this game would be a close one. I could just see Houston Nutt playing LSU down to the wire here, but with those two suspensions, especially the quarterback, I have some serious doubts about that now. So I'm going to take LSU comfortably. Yesterday I said it would be close, but obviously things have changed. So I think LSU will go into Oxford and get a nice win.
Yeah, I think they'll get a nice win as well. It might even be so ugly that after a half or three quarters, they can sit out the likes of Tyrann Mathieu and some of their other stars and let their second and third string are better than most people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they'll be able to rotate some guys.
And finally, on the week, Kentucky playing at Georgia. Now, this is an interesting game. Georgia obviously beat Auburn last week, and a lot of emotion tied up into that game. They have Georgia Tech next week, and if they win both of these games, they can have a 10-win year. But that Kentucky game is just kind of sitting there in the middle and perhaps overlooked for the Georgia Bulldogs. But if they don't beat Kentucky, they don't go to Atlanta. South Carolina does. So this is a very important game, and Mark Richt better not let his team lose focus. This is just the kind of game Georgia's been prone to struggle with in the past. I still think they get the win, but I think Kentucky plays them close.
Yeah, I like Georgia in this game. They looked awfully good last week against Auburn, and really, other than that two-game skid they had, when hasn't Georgia looked like a superior football team? They're going to represent the East well in Atlanta, I think. I really do, and I'll obviously take them over the Cats.
Well, it should be an interesting weekend, Robert. As always, we will talk to you next week as we prepare for the Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, we sure will, man. And if I may, before we adjourn, something that's been on my mind, I guess ever since we talked about it, we talked about Gus Malzahn earlier,
yeah.
and I talked about how his stock has dropped a little. I don't want to underestimate the kind of coach he is here on your program. He is a fine coach, and there's no doubt in my mind that programs will be going after him. I said his stock has dropped some because he hasn't had as stellar of a year as he had last year, but he's still a superior coach.
Well,
I don't know how many top 10 programs will be going after him, but certainly a few somebodies are probably going to pursue him, provided nothing crazy happens to the man.
Yeah, well, I think what you said was not out of bounds. I think that's pretty much universally accepted with the kind of year that they're having. But I will say this. I definitely agree with you that there will be people going at him and after him, and I think one of the top of the list will be North Carolina, simply because he has a connection there with somebody he used to work with, I believe, at Tulsa, so is now in the athletic department at North Carolina. So I think there will be people trying to get Gus Malzahn. I don't think he's a dead commodity, but he's definitely not as hot as he was last year. But good point, as always, and we'll talk to you next week, Robert.
Yes, sir. It's been great.
We'll
have a good one, man.
We'll be back soon.